Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast. I'm your host, Lene Heiss, and this is episode 84. It's been a thrilling end of the decade and beginning of 2020 at Moms in Prayer. I don't think I bring you the latest and greatest often enough, so can I just brag on what Jesus is doing at Moms in Prayer International? As I speak, we have 6 new Moms in Prayer booklets in the first step of the translation process. What does that mean? It means someone is taking the time to sit with the 32 pages of our Moms in Prayer booklet and do the tedious work of translating it into someone else's heart language. Right now, the booklet is being translated into Bengali, Punjabi, Finnish, Latvian, Malagasy, and Sotho. We are stone's throw from having the Creole version for Haiti and the Igbo language for Nigeria complete and ready for press. I'd love to ask you to give to see these versions completed and the Moms in Prayer mission advanced. It's easy to give if you jump on the website or text the word steward to 41444. That's the word steward to 41444, or you can get on the website at momsinprayer.org. Just as a reminder before we get started, you can find today's show notes and ways to connect online with today's guests by going to the blog at momsinprayer.org. I know that's been confusing for someone, so go ahead, click on blog, and you'll find the show notes right there. Thank you for your giving last week and for your partnership in furthering the vision of Moms in Prayer. Today's guest is a Christian school administrator, and I think you're going to love his perspective on the gift of prayer for schools and the mission field in our backyard. Let's welcome our guest to the podcast. Well, friends, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, and I have a very special episode for you today. We have a school administrator with us, and I'm just going to call him Friend for this episode. We are thrilled to have you here, Friend. And one of the things that I want our listeners to keep in mind while we're talking to you is that every week we're praying for our school teachers and our administrators as we pray all the way down to the bottom of our prayer sheets. And so it's a gift to have you here to talk about what that's like to be a school administrator in schools today. So, Friend, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me onto the show today. Appreciate the time.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I grew up in the area that I happened to be administrator. I originally started in that role as a teacher and went through the same system, and I've had an opportunity to be in here for over 20 years. And so it's been a lot of fun to get to know different kids through my teaching and now as my administrator. And I even went through the school as a kid. Know the system well.
Well, it's really fun to have you sit across the table from me today to see that administrators are real people. Like, you have hobbies and a family of your own.
Yep, I've got 4 kids and a wife that we've been married for almost 25 years. So it's outstanding. My kids have gone through our system and they're currently in there, and it's a lot of fun. And a couple of my kids are homeschooled as well. So it's a lot of fun to have them in our system.
Well, that is a really interesting story in and of itself that you guys have chosen to homeschool and do public school as well. But let's not get ahead of ourselves, because first of all, you're a follower of Jesus.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
So tell me how you came to faith in Christ.
I had the benefit of being raised up in a Christian family. My grandparents had a legacy of being Christian believers, and my parents. And so I was very blessed to have that opportunity to be involved in that. And at a young age, I became saved. As a probably a middle schooler, I really realized what it really meant to have Jesus as my true Savior and Lord of my life. And so at that age is when I really committed myself to making sure, learning more about God and following Him at all costs and following Him in all decisions I make daily. So that was kind of where my path started. And as I matured and developed that faith throughout the years.
Sure, we grow into that. At what point did you start thinking, I think God may want me to go into education?
Yeah, actually, when I was in high school, I grew up in a family of educators. My grandpa was an educator, my mom was an educator, my sister, and my brother. And I was the youngest in our family. And seeing them go through that system really energized me in terms of, wow, my mom had an amazing love for her job. She loved kids. She was always excited about her teaching. And so it really rubbed off onto us as kids. And so my sister went into it, loved it. My brother went into it and loved it. And I knew as a junior in high school, I really felt led at, hey, I think I want to go into education. And I went into some different classes that were kind of preparatory classes for education, loved it, and went into it ever since then and have been happy about doing that.
So what were your hopes as you thought about being a teacher? Like, What were your dreams about this upcoming career?
Well, seeing that my mom had loved it so much, my focus was enjoying the relationships that I could make with my kids. And I saw that with her. She really, truly loved her kids and was excited about working with them. And that really rubbed off onto me. And I knew that this is a great opportunity to connect with kids and make an impact in their lives.
So what were those first years as a teacher like?
I loved it. It was a lot of fun. My first year was probably one of my most fun years in that I got an opportunity to have my own classroom and work with my kids. And I did just loved coming up with fun things to connect with them. And I was always about doing new ideas and making new things to help with those relationships. And so I really enjoyed my first few years. They were tough, trying to learn how to do stuff such as all the paperwork and the curriculum and all that stuff really kept you busy. And so a lot of it's trying to survive that world. But as you go through a few years, you get that down. And I really, really enjoyed my time as a teacher. It was a lot of fun. You can influence, you know, whether you're elementary, you get to see 25, 30 kids, or you get into middle school and high school and you can start seeing, you know, 50 to 100 and that type of thing. And so having the ability to influence those kids, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that opportunity.
What was the point where you decided to pivot and walk into the world of school administration?
For a lot of years, probably about 5-6 years into my teaching career, I really had felt led to kind of continue going further. And so I ended up going and getting my master's degree in education leadership. And I kept wondering, okay, Lord, when should I go in that route? And I was really comfortable where I was at. And it took a few more years and a few opportunities that administration jobs that came up that I thought, I'll wait, maybe next time. And it was kind of pretty comfortable where I was at. And the Lord kind of gave me a nudge one year when I got laid off. After 13 years of teaching, I got laid off. And they shuffled us around and moved me into some other places. They called me back fairly soon, but put me in a couple of different roles. And so from my comfortable position, I was moved 3 times through the summer. And the last time was when they moved me into a dean of students role. And so that got me into the assistant principal role, essentially. And within 2 months, our current principal took a job elsewhere, and I was all of a sudden the principal. So I was an interim principal for the first year. So I always had that passion to go that route. And I think a lot of that passion was that in my classroom, I could influence, you know, 100 kids that I saw a day. But as a principal, I could start influencing 400 or 500 kids. And I really felt a passion that, hey, you know what? I want to influence more. And then you hire and you have hiring and you hire those teachers who influence. And so that was kind of my real draw to get into administration. The timing, I was a little scared because once you get into administration, it's a little different in terms of your contracts and all that kind of stuff. And I had a young family. But the Lord helped me get there a little sooner than I thought it might. And I've loved it ever since.
Okay, so I'm sure there are a lot of people who have kids in schools. Actually, probably the majority of people that are listening to the Moms in Prayer podcast have kids that are in schools. But we probably don't have any idea what a school principal's day looks like. Is there any average day that you could tell us about? Like, what are the kinds of things that a principal does every day?
So I always explain this to people that I say, okay, I have in my building, I'm a relatively small building, I have around 450 kids. And that's about 35 to 40 staff members, which equals roughly about 900 to 1,000 parents. So I'm pushing almost 1,500 people that you're working with, and there's always problems. You're never going to get away from a problem. There's always issues that need to be solved, questions that need answers, and sometimes issues that parents or kids are going to bring to your plate. So you never know what's going to hit you. So every day you go to work, you don't have that usual, hey, here's the schedule. You have some meetings and things you have to go to, but every day you're walking a little bit on eggshells going, okay, where's the next one coming at? And so that's also part of the fun of the day because it doesn't get boring. Your day goes by really fast, and sometimes it can be hard because you're serving a lot of people. And anytime you're serving people, it can be difficult. But some of our typical problems, whether I'm dealing with behaviors or issues, there's a lot of that. I mean, you're putting all these people together and you're trying to teach them how to work together. And unfortunately, there's a lot of broken lives and a lot of problems that our kids come to us with. Our goal is to help them and to help love them and show them, you know, compassion and ultimately show them Christ's love. They don't have a lot of stable homes in some, but some kids are. They have a lot of great homes too. So there's a mix of great kids there too. But it definitely is a busy day. It's not, as some people think, you know, hey, you're curling up, taking a nap in the afternoon. No, that'd be great. We're praying for boring days. Unfortunately, right. You don't get too many of those.
Right. And the interesting thing is, as we sit here and talk about this, is that most principals probably drive into the parking lot and look at their building and they have a normal set of eyeballs. You drive into the parking lot and you look at that building And because you have Christ in your life, you have a different set of eyes. There's like a lens over top of your eyes, and you look at that building and you see something totally different than the other guy.
Yeah.
How does that work? What's that like?
You know, I really look at our building and our education as a mission field. I mean, we are really in a mission field here of we're trying to show kids God's love. We may not be able to teach them Bible lessons every day and so forth, but we are planting seeds with showing them God's love. And our goal is to be relational and connect with our kids. We are all created to have a relationship with Christ, and that is a driving need of our kids. And so as teachers and administrators, our goal is to get to know our kids and ultimately hopefully show them God's love through that process. I have a lot of great staff members, and a lot of them are believers, and that's wonderful. And then a lot of us spend some time praying for our kids and trying to go through, and we have, you know, opportunities sometimes pop up that you can plant those seeds. And our goal, when I talk to my teachers a lot at the beginning of the year, is always to say, hey, every one of us and probably everyone out here listening can remember a teacher or two through their elementary, middle school, or high school age, and they can remember the impact that that teacher made in their life. And it wasn't because they taught a great science lesson or they're the best math teacher. They probably don't even remember what those were, but it was because that teacher cared about them and they saw that seed planted of, man, that person was different. Why? And so you have the opportunity as teachers and educators and administrators to connect with your kids and plant those seeds. And that's why I challenge my teachers, be that teacher that those kids will remember down the road because you cared about them. And that's what's awesome about the role. It's not always easy. It's a tough mission field because, you know, here in America, we're well off. And it's sometimes hard because everybody's well off in comparison to other countries. And so they don't sometimes feel the need that they need somebody such as God and Christ in their life. And so it's a challenge. And plus, in America, we have different rules that, you know, limit us in what we can say, but we still have the ability to connect and relate with our kids.
Yep. And while we're teaching them to become good human beings and we're focusing on their education, we're actually benefiting them as we teach them things like integrity, right? As we look at core values that would drive them forward, those will actually be beneficial. So those are universal things.
Yes, we have a lot of stuff that we do with our classes of, we have some different characters and quality traits that we really work with. There's some positivity things that we do with our kids, and all our teachers are teaching these things with them, and they are character traits and a lot of biblical traits as well. And they really are good ways of teaching kids how to get along with each other. And, you know, that's a challenge when you put, you know, 450 kids in a building. Everyone has their own story, and every kid has a different issue or has been through different things in their life. And so trying to blend those stories together can be a challenge. And so teaching them how to get along with each other through these different character traits is very important.
Yeah, because I can say it. You may not be able to say it with them in the room, but God's way works.
Absolutely.
When we treat each other the way that we want to be treated, that just works for everybody.
Yep, absolutely. Treat people like we want to be treated is always a good policy.
So what changes or patterns encourage you about this next generation? What are you seeing that's actually good news?
You know, there's a lot of great kids out there. And sometimes they get overshadowed with, you know, the problems that we face and the things we hear in the news. I mean, we hear negative, negative, negative in the news, but there's always 10 to 15 times more positive things that just don't get reported. It's kind of similar in our schools. We have a lot of great kids in our schools. There's a lot of good families trying to do the right things. And that's what's encouraging. I feel like when I went through school, it seemed like I didn't have so many Christian friends in there. There wasn't a lot of them. But as I look in our kids now, and especially in our area, we have a lot of great families that are really trying hard to raise their kids up to love the Lord. I see that in a lot of our kids there, and especially in our schools here. And I know that it's a challenge throughout the country just having, standing up for your faith in these schools, because sometimes there's a lot of kids that can be really mean and pick on you. And that's hard for kids at this age, especially, you know, in the middle school ages. That's a tough age.
Are there things that are concerning you or trends that are concerning you right now as we look at this next generation?
Yeah, absolutely. There's always those alarms out there that kind of scare you in terms of, one of the big ones is technology. I think technology, it's great. It's convenient. We all love the fact that I can jump online and order anything I want and have it here in 2 days or 3 days. That's awesome. But on the flip side, it's also creating a lot of issues in our schools and our kids. They're so reliant upon social media, the phone. I always look at that phone, and not my phrase, I'm sure it's been coined before, but I call it the secret sin, is because kids use it for so many things that are not appropriate. And adults have a hard enough time using the technology appropriately. And then we put it in 10 and 12 and 13 year olds' hands and hope that they're gonna do the right things with it. And it's too accessible to get onto anything they want. And I see a lot of problems with that. We deal with a lot of problems from social media. And if kids would stay away from that stuff, that would help immensely. Unfortunately, I think sometimes as parents, we don't realize how dangerous technology has become on our phones. They're all having quite a powerful instrument in their pocket, and they can access it any time. And so we see a lot of problems with that. A lot of alarms go off when we deal with our problems at school because they're connected so much to that social media. And honestly, it's really even in a little bit into the some of the trauma and different things that these kids have dealt with throughout the life. Then you add in the social media and you add in all the electronics and stuff, and we really see sometimes a lot more anxiety kicking in with kids and a lot more issues that they bring to school. And a lot of that has been proven back to some of this technology.
We've talked, and I know that you serve in an area that is poverty laden.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so you deal with poverty every single day in your schools. I imagine that there are listeners all across the world right now that live in similar situations, and some here in America that maybe aren't. But what does dealing with poverty in your school look like?
We're roughly about an 80 to 85% poverty rate in terms of federal guidelines. So we're pretty high.
Tell me what that means.
That means that as far as the at-risk kids for in terms of poverty, they don't have the resources needed to meet federal guidelines for being, you know, middle class, that type of thing.
So 80 to 85% of your school population.
Yep. And so we, because we're such a high, we qualify for completely free breakfast and lunch for all kids. And so that is any kid that walks in the building is going to get that meal or both meals if they need it free because of our high poverty. With that, it does present some different problems that we may not see in other schools that may have a little bit more, but there's still other schools have problems that we may not face either. So it does present sometimes one of the issues we run into is sometimes with poverty, there is a little less value in education just because parents are trying to survive and trying to get food and jobs and money for that type of thing. And so education's important, but it may not be a priority because they're just trying to focus on getting clothes and this covered and that gas money and the car fixed. And so that sometimes can present a little bit of problem for us because if parents aren't concerned about their education for the kids typically aren't. Parents are the best advocate for a good education. They have the ability to sway their kids and influence them way more than anybody else. And so we have the ability to influence them for a lot of hours too, but ultimately a parent has the biggest impact on those kids.
I think I love hearing that right now.
Absolutely, you guys do.
Friend, when do you feel or sense when you're in your building that this is a spiritual battle?
Yeah, I mean, every day we deal with spiritual battle issues, we feel like.
Sure.
We get a lot of issues that we see in our kids that are definitely caused by some spiritual, you know, issues. And we've had numerous cases of various situations with kids that, you know, they're struggling with spiritual battles as well, just within those kids and within the school district. Oftentimes, you know, when things get going good, you know, and you're like, hey, we got some good stuff happening, we oftentimes see the, you know, problem after problem walk in the door and get problems. And we've even reached out to our moms in prayer group and said, hey, please pray. We got issues happening, big problems right now. And we've seen that quite often. And that's been a great blessing for us because it is tough. You're out there dealing with what problem walks in the door, and it could change the face of the next 6 hours in your class and your building and everything. So we see it constantly. You think, oh, hey, things are going well. This is looking good. God's really blessing in this area, and we got some great. And all of a sudden, 2 minutes later, and we've seen it. All of a sudden, one thing after the next, and we've looked at each other in the office and went, wow, what just happened? We need help.
Well, you do serve in a building that has an active Moms in Prayer group.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, your wife is a Moms in Prayer mom. So that kind of changes things for you. What does it mean to you that there's a group of moms committed to praying for your school and you?
It's a very comforting, and it's, you know, power of prayer is amazing. And I think sometimes we all underestimate the real power of prayer. And I think with having that Moms in Prayer group, it's been very comforting and beneficial. We've had the ability to email or call and say, hey, please pray for these things. And I know you guys have done that. And we've, you know, having my wife do that has been great. We've been able to text her at times, say, hey, it's been a rough day. These kids need prayer. And a lot of times it's just, hey, there's some kids that have gone through some real serious things, and we're trying to help them sort out life. And they need a lot of prayer. And we need prayer to know how to handle them and give them good wisdom and good decisions so they can make good decisions.
And I just want to make sure that everybody that's listening understands that that Moms in Prayer group has been very careful to follow Moms in Prayer protocol and not put you in a position to ask for student names or anything to that end. And you have been careful to make sure that that's been
absolutely
held up too.
We can't release names and issues, and we don't give specifics. We will just simply say, hey, we need prayer. We've run through some situations that we need wisdom, guidance, and pray for those things for us. Absolutely. Because as a school, you have to really protect that information.
What would be some tangible steps that Moms in Prayer moms could take to encourage their school administrators and teachers?
I think, you know, one of the things is continue to pray. You know, I mean, that's a huge thing for us. I really feel like that's very beneficial. I think as we look at as teachers and administrators, they all like those little simple encouragements, you know, and I think sometimes in the field of education, there's not a lot of encouragement. I know as administrators, we typically deal with all the problems. And so we tend to have our day filled with negative things and positive things come very rarely. And so most of my day is often spent with working with parents that are not happy with you. You know, I've had phone calls that have gone bad and hang-ups and different things. And so encouragement is really nice to have because you don't hear very often from the positive. Once in a while, I'll hear something. But honestly, throughout the course of the year, you might have one or two parents that say, hey, that was awesome. Appreciate the help. But I'm probably going to get 50 that have, or 20 that have, you know, problems and issues. So that world is kind of hard. And it's, I think getting those little encouragements is really cool. I mean, our teachers love the same thing, because you don't normally get a whole lot. And that's not why you go into education. You don't go in there because I want to get patted on the back. You go in there because you want to influence kids and you want to help them through their problems and ultimately show them Christ, God's love.
All right. So we're praying, but specifically when we come to that place where we're praying for teachers and administrators, what would you have us be praying specifically? And we can separate this out because some are believers and some are not believers, but what would you ask us to pray?
Specifically, I would say for wisdom to make good decisions. And ultimately, as a believer, I'm really looking for wisdom every day, praying for wisdom so I can make a decision that would glorify God. And also giving us wisdom so we know how to handle these problems. I mean, we're dealing with a lot of trauma and different issues that we see on a daily basis and how to handle some of these behaviors that we have that we're seeing. And it's hard because you don't know how to handle some of these things. We've never seen some of these problems with the trauma that comes with some kids. And why are they screaming and hollering and going crazy off the wall on some of these issues? And so trying to give us wisdom is so important. I think that is also giving us the strength to work through those things. It's hard when you're trying to figure out, okay, I've got four kids that are all having some pretty serious issues and trying to sort through them. By the time you get to that fourth or fifth kid, it's you're pretty whipped out and trying to get that strength. So wisdom and strength and encouragement, I go back to that as well, just to kind of, hey, keep doing the things that you're doing. You know, those are the things that are important, I think, to help. So I would really say continue to pray for wisdom and strength and encouragement and just so staff, because they, not necessarily encouragement from you guys, but that's great too, but from everyone. And their staff needs to know that, hey, what they're doing is a good thing, and that helps them continue to do a good thing in the classroom. And so that's one thing I keep trying to pound with them, is give them those little tidbits of encouragement, and I pray for them as we walk through the halls and different things too. But
so I would love to get your take on this, because we pray for students every week when we meet in Moms in Prayer groups. But from your perspective, what kinds of things are you really hoping that we'll be praying for your students?
For our students, I, you know, is really hoping that they will see the seeds that we're trying to plant in them, that there's more than in life than just walking around being happy about the next cool text I got from a friend or the next social media post. Because I often talk to a lot of my kids about, hey, you don't get your value from what your friend said today on social media. Okay, that's not where you get your value. And we want them to be able to hopefully ultimately see through the love that we can show them and the relationships that we can build with them, whether they're Christian teachers or not, they still build good relationships and can help them walk that life. And there's a lot of tough decisions out there that kids are trying to make at a way younger age than we did. And they're exposed to so much more than we were, especially with the speed of technology and everything, how it can go around so fast. Years ago, we probably would never dream that a kid could text somebody in another country and immediately have a response. You know, now they can do it in one classroom to the next. It's crazy how fast that component has added to the trauma and different problems that we face. And so I would say praying for our kids specifically that they find purpose in life. And that purpose ultimately is that the relationship with Christ. And they're often looking for everywhere but Christ. And so if we can hopefully plant a seed in that, that would be awesome. But we want our kids to be hopefully finding that purpose there. And then I think ultimately is the physical needs of our kids is also something that needs to be prayed and that they can have those physical needs met. And there's a lot of stories of our kids that don't have the clothing that they need. They don't have the lodging that they need. And in the food, you know, fortunately, you know, we do give them breakfast and lunch, but there's still dinner that a lot of them don't get and so forth. And I always kind of thought when I first got into this, I heard about this kind of stuff. Oh yeah, they don't even have a place to live tonight. And I'm like, how is that possible? We're in America. Who really doesn't have food tonight or things? And as I got into this role more, it really opened my eyes to the problems because I got to see all the problems firsthand. And there really is a lot of kids out there that are struggling with that, and parents and broken homes, and someone so got evicted yesterday, and they're, you know, and so we try to see where are they staying. You know, they normally will bunk up with another family member somewhere, and that's why we get a lot of move-ins and move-out. And so praying for those physical needs is really important too, that those kids, because if they can have those met, it makes school a lot easier for them to focus on. When they're worrying about where they're going to go tonight, what they're going to eat, they're not going to care about how they do on a math test. That's the last thing in their mind. And so our focus is if we can help with those things, you know, at school, we do provide clothing and different things, but there's only so much that you can do there. And so praying for those things would definitely be valuable for our kids. Yep.
One of the things a friend told me that just won't go away is, especially for administrators during hiring seasons, was that we should pray that highly qualified candidates come forward, and that Christian teachers often rise to the top because they have integrity and they work for excellence. Do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, hiring is one of the most stressful things to me, because when you hire somebody, you could potentially be hiring them for 30 years and they're going to influence kids for 30 years, which can be great, but it also can be really bad. And so one of the things that we really focus on our hiring is integrity and character. And we're trying to find people that can show those skills of connecting and developing relationships with our kids. Yes, we want them to teach great lessons in math and science and social studies and the other classes, but that can be taught easier than finding someone with integrity and character. So as we work through oftentimes with hiring, we are looking for those traits of integrity and character. And we normally get some very good candidates because of that. I often talk to my wife about this a lot, as one of my passions is to see good Christian believers get into education, because we have so many parents, and sometimes I'm even in that ballpark of going, man, do I really want my kid to go into education? It's tough. It's not always a fun job. But I also know it's an amazing opportunity to be a great missionary in a mission field that's tough, and it's under our backyard. So Christians sometimes are running away from education. We're like, no, we need more good Christian teachers in the elementary, in the middle school, in the high school. We need that opportunity to help influence kids, because what better place can we influence kids than when you're with them for 7-8 hours a day? And there's not too many jobs that give you that ability to do that. And so we really need those educators to get in there and realize that, hey, schools are tough, but it's a much, much needed thing. And we need teachers to get involved in there that are good believers.
That's funny. Not too many weeks ago, we were on Global Day of Prayer phone call. And I heard somebody pray that there would be a wave of teachers, that Christian teachers, that would see that as their mission field and walk forward in that path. And that made me so excited, because I can picture that happening, that there would be a wave of people walking in, looking at those buildings with spiritual eyes, seeing the real needs that are happening. One of the things that we pray week in and week out is for protection over your building. Mm-hmm. I think a mom's greatest fear at this point in the game is probably school shootings or violence in the school place.
Yeah.
That has become a part of the dialogue now. I know our kids come home from school and say, we did active shooter drills today.
Yeah.
So where does that play into your thought process, and how has that changed your situation?
Yeah, that actually presents a lot of challenges, because as administrator, that's one of your focuses, keeping your school safe. So we can take physical precautions and we can go through and lock our doors and do all these things. But sometimes the biggest danger oftentimes is from within. And so not very often is somebody going to walk in our building, because we have so many. We're a locked campus. It's tough to get in, but it could happen. It's more of what comes in from other kids and so forth that we have to be. So we are really on our toes. We have teachers in the hallways all the time monitoring, keep an eye on stuff, because that is a concern for us, is safety of our kids in our districts. And I continually pray every day, you know, when we go in, my daughter and my son and I, every morning we're praying as we go into school. And one of those prayers is protect and bless our schools. And just because we don't know what is out there always. But I also know that God is going to take care of us, and God has blessed us, and His will be done. And so I don't walk around in fear of it, but I do walk around and say, hey, what can we do to make sure I help my kids feel comfortable? Because they don't know that, like, we know God and what He will comfort them. And so there are a lot of kids that are scared of those things. When we do have a soft lockdown drill or whatever, they can often really create a lot of anxiety. And so just helping those kids through the process of feeling safe by doing drills, by showing them what we have in place, I think that helps a lot. But ultimately, we're going to continue to do all those safeguards that we can. It is always in the back of our mind of, hey, worst case scenario, what would we do and how would we handle it? And so we do trainings and we do different things like that. Really, the biggest thing is really preparing our staff of how to handle things and what to do in the event of something like that. Definitely a good question and, you know, a good concern. And I know, continue to keep praying for the safety of all of our schools.
It has been so fun to have you here today. I'm wondering, since moms and prayer groups pray for you all the time, would you mind praying for the moms and prayer moms that are listening?
Sure. That'd be great. Thanks for letting me come on, and let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity today to talk to those around the country with moms in prayer. We just thank you for all the moms out there that are praying weekly and daily for our schools and for our administrators and our teachers. And we just thank you for them, Lord. We ask that you'd bless them and protect them as they do this. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to pray for our schools. And we ask, Lord, that you would give our schools, the teachers and administrators, wisdom, Lord. Give them strength and as they go through their days of making decisions. I ask that you would just protect those that are out there, Lord. Be with our students. I ask, Lord, that you would help them with the needs of physical needs, Lord. And ultimately, Lord, we ask that you would be with those many students that are out there that would find you and some of our teachers that are out there and administrators. Thank you again, Lord, for moms in prayer and the support that they have been for our schools and across the country. And we ask that you'd bless and protect them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Are you convinced our schools need prayer? Me too. Let's take a minute to praise God for every believer in our school system. Let's ask that they see with spiritual eyes today. If you aren't already in a Moms in Prayer group, will you join us? It's easy to do that if you jump on the website at momsinprayer.org or talk to the friend who forwarded you this episode. Today is the day to join us in fighting for the next generation in prayer and to find that prayer community you've been longing for. We love being on this vital prayer mission with you. Moms are making the difference. Moms who intercede for those on the front line with our kids. Moms just like you. See you next week.